80 million millennials are alive in America today, but the generation only makes up 7% of the federal workforce. These millennials, generally thought to have been born between the mid to late 1980s and 2004, grew up mostly in the era of digital technology, and they came of age around 9/11. They're the ones who will inevitably set the course for what the federal workforce will look like in the coming decades. You're listening to Up and Comers on FedScoop Radio, where we highlight those millennials. I'm Jake Williams. Today our guest is Mindy Shiat, the Program Manager for the Integrated Student Experience Project in the Federal Student Aid Office at the Education Department.
Take us through your career path a little bit. You know, you've ended up in the Federal Student Aid Office. How'd you get there?
Sure. So I actually started as an intern here just the summer before my senior year of college. My roommate saw an announcement posted online, which I kind of blindly applied to, and I ended up here. And through the internship, I ended up staying on throughout the year and ended up getting hired. And so I've been at Federal Student Aid 7 years since then.
Wow.
So I've had some really great opportunities to kind of move around within Federal Student Aid. So really my first year here, I was pulled to work in the office of the undersecretary over at our headquarters, which was really, really interesting, just a really great experience. I've worked in our project management office, communications, and then found my way into our more newly established customer experience office. But along the way, I've been doing just different projects, but a lot of them with just IT projects, websites. So originally worked on developing the college.gov website, and then now I am managing our studentaid.gov website, which is part of a project we call the Integrated Student Experience, and that's a project to update and consolidate the many websites we have here at Federal Student Aid. So, you know, it's really been great. It's been kind of growing and challenging and something different, and so I just really appreciate that. I know that I'm very lucky to have had these opportunities.
When I was talking with one of your colleagues who recommended you, and they said that you really, you know, you kind of undertook this project with little to no budget ready for it, and you just ran with it. Tell us about that process and how you just took a project from literally nothing to what it is now.
Sure. So this Integrated Student Experience Project, we call it ISE because we, you know, give everything an acronym. And so it was kind of handed to me when my former boss left for different work. And it had been an idea that had been around Federal Student Aid for a long time. We all know that we, you know, have a bunch of different websites, which can be confusing, and some of them were outdated. And so, you know, I first tackled it just as I, you know, thought I should, by begging for money and funding, and that really wasn't working out very well because budgets are very tight around here. And so there was really just one point a few months in where my supervisor said, you know, we have to be creative here. You know, what else can we do? And at that point, I was able to find some basically in-house resources. So we had two developers in the technology office that were willing to do this, to actually develop the new website for us. Our writers could try to, you know, make it, basically making a case to refocus their work to do this based on some of the benefits that we had outlined, which were huge. You know, we realized basically that we're spending a lot of money paying for the maintenance of all these multiple websites. And so once I was able to work with the finance office to prove that we could make these cost savings, then I was able to get those resources reassigned to work on the new website. And that was really amazing, and just an incredible experience, because I think we had, you know, so much more pride in what it was that we delivered, because we had kind of all gotten together and done it ourselves, and then had these, you know, great benefits on the side.
So I mean, what do you think, you know, as a relatively young person in government, you know, what do you think an upcomer's place is in the federal space?
I think our place can be just as important as anyone else's place in the federal space. I think it's just important to, you know, find yourself in a position where you are working with a group that is more open and flat to, you know, us younger people kind of approaching with new ideas, creativity, and, you know, their senior executives really being interested in our ideas and really giving us meaningful work. I mean, I think that from what I've seen, you know, it's people of all ages and all entry level, mid level, more senior level that are, it doesn't really matter what your position is. If you're ready to work hard, then I think at least from what I've seen here, we're all ready to come together and work together.
You know, you hear a lot of people throwing around the term millennial and talking about this generation of young people that are coming into government, that are coming into, you know, the private sector and doing various degrees of work. You know, how do you feel about that term? Do you think it is some people say it's a loaded term, that it's a bad term. Some people say it's a good term to encapsulate the, you know, ideals of the generation. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think I've seen, you know, some of the articles in the press, maybe a negative stereotype around that. But I think through the work that we are doing, we're, you know, proving that those stereotypes aren't true, that millennials are, you know, hard workers and just as much as anyone else. You know, I don't have any expectations that things should be happening in certain ways, as I think some of those articles have suggested. So I think it's just a matter, again, of letting kind of the work speak for you and not where you are in your life.
So what is a typical day like in your life?
A typical day, you know, I think actually today is a really good representation of a typical day in that it usually involves a number of meetings, and but it's really meeting with different groups of people to help move our projects forward. So after this, I'm going to our daily Scrum meeting. We do agile development, which means the core team gets together daily to talk about what they're working on, clarify any questions. And it's a good, you know, really just kind of start to the day to get everyone together. And then I'm meeting later with our project management office about OMB reporting. And I'm meeting with our contracts office about FY14 funding. I'm meeting with our, to discuss our usability testing, because we're doing some usability testing later. So, you know, in between those meetings, I'm definitely just checking off the many things on my to-do list, trying to do some of the actual work. But that's really what I love about my job, that I'm just, you know, interacting with so many different people across the organization, because really for this project to be successful, we do have to and want to get input from people around the organization that can help it be successful. So I would say the days pretty much go like that, and it's great. I can't remember the last time I've been bored.
Wow, that's good. That's good. So, you know, I what I think is interesting, you know, you work in, you know, federal student aid. And so being a recent college graduate, do you think that's a huge, you know, help to you so that you know how to structure these things to fit college students?
I do think it's been a help. You know, I think we realize that the people that we're helping with financial aid are a very wide range of ages. So there are borrowers that have been, you know, paying back their loans for decades, and there are high school students just thinking about the FAFSA application. So I definitely think it helps. I think I always, you know, try to give my opinion, but also remember that I'm, you know, just one person already. My experience in college is, I am, you know, getting a little farther away from that. So yes, I definitely think it has helped, but just try to always get a kind of a wider range of input too on our on the things that we're developing to make sure that they're hitting the right chord with not just me and my personal opinions, but everyone.
So what would you say is your typical, if you wake up in the morning, you're getting ready to come into work, and you're thinking of something that drives you to come in every day, what is that phrase?
Well, I think what drives me to come in every day is two things. I mean, I think it's the impact to our citizens, which You know, I've been just very blessed to do work that I can see every day how we're impacting the citizens. I can read the survey results on the website. I can do focus groups and really hear, you know, how the information we're giving them is helping them achieve higher education. Also, on the opposite side of that, how, you know, the complaints and how there's so much more to do. So that's really been, you know, inspires me to come in every day. And then also just the people. And I've just found that there are just some really great people working here, and their kind of enthusiasm inspires me to come in and keep doing what I'm doing.
Do you have some advice to both people that are above you on the leadership change, as well as people below you?
I think for people above me, it's just important to, kind of as we were talking about before, try to maintain a really flat and open organization so that, you know, the lines of reporting, I mean, both ways, above and below, are just blurred. And it's, you know, again, just kind of going back to, you know, what's the work that's being done, and who has creative and good ideas, and how do we make them happen. For, you know, people kind of below, you know, I think I've been very lucky to have really great supervisors that have helped me on my career path and really, you know, pushed for me, even if that meant, you know, letting me go someplace else, and they'd have to find someone new. So, you know, I think part of it is maybe the luck of getting a great supervisor who, you know, wants you to grow and wants to help you. But, you know, in addition to luck, you have to do what you can to put yourself in that position, because there are a lot of great people in the government that are willing to help your career path. And so if you're feeling stuck, you know, I think that that is probably, I know that that happens a lot, and that's probably, you know, based on the situation you're in, but there are other opportunities. So I think you just have to keep seeking out your network to help you continue to grow in your work.
So do you have any mentors that really helped you? I mean, you mentioned supervisors, you know, mentors that helped you get to where you are today.
Yes. I have a formal mentor through a leadership development program that I was in. It was kind of like speed dating, where they, you know, interview with a bunch of potential mentors and then match you up. And so I was matched with Ralph Labosco, and he actually worked in a regional office and I was here, but we were able to, you know, really establish a schedule for checking in, and we're just able and are still able to talk about really anything, you know, any issues or decision points with our work, just general career advice. And, you know, what I've really appreciated with my mentor relationship with him is that he always, you know, it goes both ways. It's not just me asking him for advice, but hopefully from what he says, I'm also able to kind of, you know, listen to him and help him. And he works in a very different part of the organization, so that's been great to, you know, get his perspective. And so that's really been wonderful. And then maybe more informally, as I mentioned, my supervisors, I have just had the best bosses, some really intelligent and hardworking women. And so, you know, constantly looking to them for just, you know, direction and feedback and advice. So really benefited from the supervisors that I've had.
And now, so now some more casual questions. What is your favorite DC hangout?
My favorite DC hangout, I'd have to say just DuPont Circle, sitting and people watching. I could do that for a long time, see many interesting things going on there. also, you know, really enjoying seeing all the new restaurants and different things popping up on 14th Street. So there are so many great places around D.C.
It's
a little hard to choose.
So other than, you know, people watching DuPont Circle, how do you unwind after a stressful day of work?
Well, I am working on my skills at running outdoors, which, you know, getting a little bit better at. But when it's this hot, I walk slowly to my gym, which the AC usually doesn't work. But yeah, that's during the week. On the weekends, my friends and I like doing big home cooked dinners and just hanging out for hours. And my favorite part of the week might be on Saturday, just sitting with a cup of coffee and reading the newspaper, an actual newspaper that we get.
Great.
Yeah, my friends can't believe it. but my husband insists. So might be the most relaxing part of the week.
So that's all for us here on this edition of Up and Comers on FedScoop Radio. For a closer look at some of our other up-and-comers, go to FedScoop.com, or to recommend an up-and-comer, click the up-and-comers icon on the FedScoop website.